Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I am Richard Dugan, and we are going to be taking your phone calls today as we bring to you psychic numerologist, channeler, and all-around extraordinary woman who has provided people with information to help them get through the rough spots in their lives to get back on track for their purposes. Joan Sibinski is going to be our guest here on the program. She's been providing this kind of information since 1972, and she's going to provide it to you here on the program. Join us, won't you? And not a lot of people sometimes understand the work that people like Joan do. Joan Sibinski coming to us live from Phoenix, Arizona. Joan, it's good to have you on the program, and it's good to open up the phone lines to our listeners at 879-5478, 879-5478, or KIST. You have been a, I can go down the list here, Joan, of all of the things that you have done. You're a metaphysician, a counselor. You have basically been employed to provide therapeutic techniques with metaphysical or psychic abilities to bring clarity and purpose into the lives of the people that you work with. And this is something that you, this isn't just something you're doing on a whim, is it?
Oh, no. I was born psychic, and it seemed to be just the path that I kept being led down no matter what I did. I became a nurse for a while and found that I was using a lot of my ability there. I was a paramedic. Finally, I got my degree in psychology and realized that the best psychology work I could do was through my psychic ability.
Did you ever question it or say, oh my gosh, this, because I don't know how religious a person you were, and whether you said, oh my, this must be of the devil, this is because what they tell me, and I've got to find a way to get away from this. Did you sort of run from it at all?
No, I never ran from it. The closest I can get to what you're talking about was when my late husband died. I went through a period of a lot of self-doubt because I had a very strong feeling that something was wrong with him, but I couldn't do anything about it. And ultimately, he died. And I kept thinking, what use is it if I can't help myself with it? And so I went through a very dark time during that period, but then I also started reaching back to the roots of my connection to the source, and it helped me through it finally.
And again, since 1972, you have been doing this. So when did you get in touch with and begin to, I'm not sure if the word is perfect or fine-tune, these abilities, which I'm guessing that's sort of been an ongoing process since even before 1972, but that was when you sort of officially started doing it.
That's when I became professional.
Okay.
Prior to that, I can recall working with it with my sister and other female members of the family as early as age 6. At about 12 or 13, then I started doing it for my friends, you know, to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
At 15, I started taking classes, and then from then on in, I was busily taking astrology classes, numerology classes, trance medium classes, until finally in 1972, I was convinced by someone else that I should become a professional.
And it sounds to me as though you're implying that this is hereditary?
No, I'm not implying that at all. As a matter of fact, I would say it can be.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that all of us have it. The difference between me and someone else is kind of threefold. I had a near-death experience at 6, followed by the fact that I had family that encouraged it, followed by the fact that I lived in a very tumultuous home life that made me have to kind of exist in a position in which I had to be aware of what was going on all the time for my own safety.
And you are also a channeler as well, is that correct?
That's correct, yes. For about the past 26 years, I have been channeling a group of entities known as Equinox. And when I first started channeling them, I was not intending to do it. It just sort of happened. And I'm really, really glad that I allowed it to occur because they have definitely transformed my life, and I know pretty much the people who come to the channelings, which are held the first Friday of every month, have told me the same thing, that they have really done some transformative work through Equinox.
And you're going to be here at the end of November channeling Equinox. Tell me a little bit about the process, because you are what's called an unconscious channel?
That's correct. When I'm doing my readings, I'm a conscious channel, and what that means is that I can hear the voices of your dead loved ones. I can hear the voices of your guides. I get insight through beings from the other side for the reading, but I am very conscious that I'm there, my ego's there, my own personality is well involved. But when I channel Equinox, I literally leave my body and go off either with my late husband or a Hopi shaman, or just go off and explore places and am totally not present while they're here using my body. And then I come back into it and have to be told everything I said or what occurred, because I have absolutely no conscious knowledge of what's happened.
Or in most cases, it's the experiences are recorded for
yes.
transcription as well.
Yes, we do. We have a website, which is www.myama.org, and some very good people are manning that for me, because I am not real computer literate, and they wanted to make sure that Equinox's comments were put out for people to see and perhaps help them as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I said, you are going to be back here at the end of November to basically bring us that particular, is it that or those entities?
Those entities.
Okay.
They claim they're a combined consciousness.
Okay. And that'll be on the 24th of November. Today, basically, we're opening up the phone lines, and you're basically going to use all of the means at your disposal that you've been using for the past many years to assist people in the same process of assisting them in moving forward in their lives in whatever
right.
areas, if they've gotten stuck or if they have questions about family members and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
The key is that what we need from you, if you call us here at 805-879-5478, that's 805-879-5478 or 879-KIST. We need your first name. If you feel comfortable enough giving us your birth name, that's fine, but we need at least your first name and then your birth date, month, day, and year. And then you can basically, do we want to open this up to a single question, or do you want to just impart to them whatever you feel led to share?
Either.
Okay.
Whichever they need. If they need to ask a specific question, then wonderful. If they don't, then I can just tune in and see what their guides feel they need to know at this particular moment.
Okay. Once again, the number is 879-5478, 879-KIST. Give us a call here. Speak with Joan Sabinski and get some insight into maybe some issues that you may have in your life right now. We'd like to have you call her. We will also be giving you a website that will get you additional information, not only about Joni, but some of the other things that she is involved in, along with Equinox and the website Myama, and a phone number that you'll be able to call after the program if you'd like to follow up with Joni on some other areas as well. And at this particular point in time, what we want to do is ask you to give us a call now, 879-5478, 879-KIST. And as we're waiting for our first calls to come in, I wanted to ask you about your perceptions as a, and I'm going to use the broad term metaphysician.
Right.
How have you seen the world change in its perception view of metaphysicians, psychics, channels, at all? Tell me about your perceptions.
I think there is a massive change going on, and I know that Equinox started telling us about this quite a while ago. They referred to an opening of consciousness, and that more and more people would become interested in and then begin to look at their own abilities and what more there is in the world. And all you have to do is look at media, all the television shows now that have to do with psychics. And I know on several of the cable channels, they are doing, there's even some sort of a contest now to pick the best psychic. there is a show about children with psychic ability, which I think is wonderful. The book The Secret has certainly opened up. I know I've been teaching that method for 40 years now, and so there's nothing new under the sun, but the bottom line is people are now being more open to possibilities that before that they may have been afraid of.
Okay. Well, I know one woman who is not afraid. She has braved up to the phone lines and wants to ask you a question. Her name is Tina. That's her first name. It is her first name. And her birth date is January 16th. That's January 16, 1956, 56. So, Tina, what is your question?
I'm in a bunch of emotional trouble, and I was wondering what my spirit guides need to tell me.
Well, Tina, you're a very complex person. You're what I call a unicorn. And basically what that means is that you've spent a lot of this life trying to fit in but never quite feel like you do. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it's very, very important for you to understand relationships. It's one of your life purposes. But because you never quite know how to fit, relationships will be one of the most difficult parts of your life. Is that correct?
Yes.
And right now you are coming into a period of self-identity, so that it's more important for you to figure out who you are. And then after you know who you are, you can start dealing with how you have been with others, because I don't think that you have been authentic. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it is an immensely important time for you to be authentic. You're quite psychic in your own right. And I think that what that has done is made you super sensitive to everybody around you. And that can create for you the need to make other people happy.
Yes.
And that's not living authentically to who you are. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So if you can start working on really looking at, who is Tina? What does Tina really want out of life? Learn to say no. I think that your emotional turmoil will begin to lessen significantly.
Okay.
Does that help you, Tina?
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay.
It will.
Thank you.
Well, Tina, thank you so much for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good day.
All right.
And that's how easy it is. Just give us a call here at 879-547-8879-KIST, and you can ask Joni a question. We'll just ask for your first name, your first birth name, and then your birth date, and Joni can then assist you in that process. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions about Equinox, because when you come back on the 24th, we won't be able to talk to you.
Right.
We will be talking directly with Equinox from the start of the program.
And this is going to be interesting, because I got to tell you, Richard, this is the first time Equinox has ever done this over the phone and on the radio.
I've always liked doing firsts.
Well, it will be interesting for me, and I will need an assistant, so a friend of mine will be assisting me in this process, because Equinox is not real savvy about telephones, and I don't know what they might do. So there will be an assistant.
We could have a very interesting hour, to say the very least. And my wife and I, who, by the way, is in the studio with me today, Amrita and I have both attended gatherings where Equinox was channeled and, pardon me, and shared information. And notice at the very end, when it is time to end the process, due to either a sufficiency of questions being asked, and that's all we have, thank you, or in some cases, is it not true that Equinox says it's time for us to go because the body has basically taken all that it can? Tell us about the impact on your body when Equinox is, what, inhabiting?
Yes, it's really interesting, because when I first started channeling them, I would come out of the channeling in a great deal of pain. And when we asked them what that was about, they said that my body was having to adjust to a completely different energy. And in the adjustment, it created some difficulty. So for several years, actually, my body would be in various degrees of discomfort. Now we've got the balance of energy very, very good, so that I don't come out of it in pain. I come out of it energized, but they are keeping track of when it might be too draining of my energy. So when they're keeping track of where the energy is, then they sometimes decide that the energy is now at a point where that I'd come out of it less comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and that's when they usually call it quits. And it's usually somewhere around an hour and a half to 2 hours, I think.
Well, Joni, we're going to take some calls here in just a moment and ask people to call in at 879-5478. And we're going to ask people to call in. Joni, tell us how long you've been channeling Equinox.
26 years, believe it or not. That's astonishing to me when I think about it. It came on accidentally. I was teaching a class in seance work, and the gentleman next to me started acting as though he was about to leave his body, and I was attempting to assist him. He was frightened and resisted, and the next thing I knew, I woke up sprawled across the table, freezing cold a half an hour later, and that was the first entrance of Equinox.
Okay.
And that isn't really the name they gave us, but it was as close as we could say. So they became Equinox.
Now, the skeptic, if you will, might
mm-hmm.
say, well, Joni, you're just putting on another voice and closing your eyes and so forth. And it's how convenient that you don't remember what was said. How have you been able to, in your own mind, and I guess you can't really control the minds of others, but in your own mind, come to the realization that this is very real? How have you been able to prove that to yourself?
Well, the first 5 years, I have a group of people that were my students at the time that were around me that Equinox calls the circle. And I would ask the circle to do anything they could to prove to me that I wasn't just a multiple personality syndrome or nuts. And after a number of years, I have determined that it isn't me. First of all, they have initially had completely different belief systems than me, so that I would actually fight them on some of the things they would say. Now, as time has gone on, I realize they're right, I was wrong. They talk about things that I would have absolutely no knowledge about. Just everything, every test that I put them through pretty much showed us that it wasn't me. Now, another thing, I have sensitives in the audience or in the group that are watching, and they claim my aura shifts completely,
mm-hmm.
that it is so obvious that it isn't me.
An aura, of course, is the visual representation of the energy field that each of
us has.
Exactly,
okay. Exactly. And there are just multitudes of ways that people that have been coming regularly say, that's not you, Joni, there's just no way.
Now, there are, when these gatherings take place once a month,
mm-hmm.
restrictions on the types of questions. Is that not correct?
Yes, there are.
And what are those restrictions and why?
Well, the restrictions are very simple restrictions. We ask that people not ask questions that have brutality attached to it. And we didn't know that that would affect Equinox until we had a group of Cambodian people here one night who started asking questions about the torture of their relatives through the Khmer Rouge. And the energy in the room just went nuts. It disappeared. There was no energy left. And the whole room got physically sick. And we had to cut the channeling at that point. So we asked that no inhumanity to man questions be asked. The second thing that Equinox will not answer are questions about other people unless you have their permission. And that includes anyone deceased. That includes your own children. Now, with deceased relatives, they can access them for the permission.
Mm-hmm.
With children, they won't do it because we all come into this life with an expectation of privacy. And I don't care if it's your parents, your lover, whomever it is, they do not have the right to invade that privacy. It's really bad karma.
Mm-hmm.
So Equinox won't do it. So those are the only two rules I can think of offhand about what questions can be asked.
Mm-hmm. And you actually do have a small little handout that helps to explain a little bit about the channeling
mm-hmm.
and the information that is imparted, as well as where it is available at myama.com. Go ahead and spell that for us again.
It's M-Y-A-M-A. And let me explain what that means. when they first started coming through, they would always start out with myama. So one day, excuse me, we asked them, exactly what does that mean? And they said it is a greeting, and what we have determined is it's sort of like the greeting aloha, which means love, hello, goodbye, caring. It's just a greeting of sending love.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought that was the perfect name for the website.
I like it. I like it. And Joni is here to take your calls at 879-547-8879-KIST. If you'd like to give us a call, she's open to answering any questions that you might have regarding your particular situation, whether it be in a relationship or a job or what have you. She's here to answer your questions, 879-547-8879-KIST. And, of course, you can go to starlight.com. There are several other websites connected with Joni and what she's doing that are available there as well, additional information. And to simplify matters even further, you can just go to richarddugan.com, and there is a link there with Joni's name, Joan's name, and you can basically click there, boom, takes you to starlight.com and through the other websites as well. You know, I asked you earlier about how the world has become more accepting of these realms, if you will, especially through television programs.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of our favorites here, my wife's and mine, is I believe it's called Ghost Whisperers.
Okay.
Or Ghost Whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
And rather interesting. Do you have that kind of an experience where you are, aside from the channeling in connection with speaking with folks who have transitioned or passed on, do you have that in a conscious state where you're able to,
yes,
to connect with?
I've always been able to talk with spirits. I used to be kind of a ghostbuster here in Phoenix, where there were a group of us that would go into, I'm putting quotes around this word, haunted houses. Not all houses are haunted. Some people want their houses to be haunted when they're not. Some people draw that energy, that sort of poltergeist energy, to them that's not a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to be involved in that. Right now I'm involved with a organization that is a combination of search and rescue with dogs and using psychics to find people who are deceased or determine if someone is deceased. So, yeah, I work with ghosts a lot. They come out in readings very frequently, people's loved ones who have passed that aren't complete and want to share some things, or the person themselves isn't complete. I have worked with the police a few times on, that's not one I like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like doing that, but I have worked with the police on four different occasions to help solve, in one case, a rape, and in three cases, a murder.
Well, and I also know, too, that in police investigations of that sort, they always want to have some type of hard, concrete, substantial information and evidence, and getting
That's
information
hard.
From a psychic or a metaphysician is kind of tough.
Well, especially because a lot of the police are very, very, very skeptical. And so they come in closed, and it makes it very difficult for a sensitive, which is what I am, to pick up much when they're closing down everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the gentleman that I'm working with, or that has this search and rescue thing that he's put together, was an ex-FBI agent. And he expects also, and this one's new to me, and I'm just learning how to do it, he really wants us to be able to give longitude and latitudes of where we think the bodies are. So he's trying to get real, real concrete evidence that he can take. But you're right. When you're a sensitive, a psychic, a medium, you're getting perceptions more than you're getting concrete things.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that's being filtered a bit through your own ability to, and your own life, to kind of ascertain what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that's a much more difficult a way to approach things that the police would understand.
Yeah.
I know when I was working with one officer, it happened in a weird way where someone had come for a reading and I told her that she had a particular spirit behind her and described him, and she told me he had been murdered, and I started telling her things, and she contacted the detective, who then came to me and told me that I had picked up things that were some of the information that was not being released to the public. And after investigating me, decided that I didn't know this person, so I must have gotten it another way. And I believe I helped solve that case. He sent then two other detectives that were the complete opposite, so closed, so nasty. The first thing they said when they showed up was, "We're not paying for this." And I said, "I don't take money for this. And I'm really, really, really upset that you would just assume that and come in that negatively." But that's how most officers have been in the past. I think that's changing too. I think the police are now wanting to use whatever they can.
Well, as you know, perception being reality, time goes by very fast. No, we haven't come to the end of the program. We come to the halfway mark, which is kind of amazing. We've already gone through 30 minutes of the broadcast, and I want to let our listeners know you are listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. My guest is Joan Sabinski. She is an international intuitive, a metaphysician. And I'm wondering, Joni, as we move forward, as you take people's calls at 879-547-8879-KIST, and the lines are open if you'd like to give us a call. When you are giving readings, is there certain information that you won't tell them?
No, there's no information that I receive that I won't tell, but there is information the guides won't give me. And what that information is that I have determined over all these years is anything that the person cannot do anything about. For instance, if you were going to walk outside, get in your car, and have a car accident right after I did a reading for you and die, they wouldn't show it, because what good would that do? It would accomplish nothing.
Okay.
But if you were going to get in your car and potentially have a car accident that could kill you, I will get it. And I will say to you, "Okay, Richard, I want you to be exceedingly careful for the next week, because I'm very concerned that you're not paying attention and you could have a very bad accident." Thus, hopefully, it would prevent it. Now, I have had situations. I had a gentleman who I had been reading for forever, and I picked up that he was having a severe heart problem, and I said, "I don't want to finish the reading. I want you immediately to go to the hospital and have this checked out," which he did, and he ended up having bypass surgery the next day,
mm-hmm.
which then saved his life, but he died 2 years later of cancer. So he needed the 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and I never picked up the cancer. Okay, so he needed me to stop the heart attack so that he'd have that 2 years to finish up some things, and then he died.
And then who's to say that the cancer was even there, or maybe it wasn't revealed to you? I mean,
it wasn't revealed to me because mm-hmm. it wasn't supposed to be revealed.
Right.
And I believe that, I know I have people that come to me and say, "I'm afraid of some of what you're going to tell me." And the truth is, just like The Secret says, we have control over, we have free will.
Yeah.
So if I tell you this man that you are involved with is a really, really good relationship for you,
mm-hmm.
and you should proceed, and then you don't,
mm-hmm.
and you find out he should have been, that's your okay. You can do that. I mean, all I can do is tell you what
yeah.
I see. I've had lots of people who have said, "You don't want to be involved with this man or woman," and they have, and then come back 2 years later after their divorce and say, "Why didn't I listen?" We have free will. That is the gift that was given to us.
Yeah. Well, we also have the free will to take phone calls. We're going to do that with Kevin, and Kevin is on the line, and his birth date is August 30th, 30, 1939. That's 39. That's Kevin. And Kevin, what is your question?
I'm right now. I'm in the midst of looking into various businesses, and I seem to be stuck. I seem to be kind of wavering back and forth, and really getting nothing done. Is there any advice you have for me?
Yes, Kevin. You need to work in any field that doesn't make you tied down, that doesn't keep you behind a desk. You have a part of you that needs to be able to call your own timing, and you need things mellow. You're not good in anything that would be harsh, hostile, dog-eat-dog. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
any kind, you know, it's interesting. If you could get involved in selling something you believed in,
mm-hmm.
that you felt really helped people, you'd mm-hmm. be really, really, really happy. You
yeah.
are somebody that has a strong desire to make a difference, and you have a strong desire to learn a lot about everything. And so any career or any business that allows you to be learning and giving, you will be absolutely happy with. You're not somebody that would be really good stuck a 9-to-5 doing the same thing over and over. That's not your nature. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And many of the things I'm looking into are, could loosely fit that description.
Okay, this is a period right now as we speak for probably the next 6 months where things are going to feel very heavy for you. And that could be partially due to this indecision. So I would really advise you to take your time. Now, know that a lot more is expected of you right now, and that could be coming from you because you're a Virgo, and Virgos tend to be exceedingly hard on themselves. So you need to give yourself this next 6 months to really feel this out without too much pressure, because I've got to say I am concerned that you could finally make a decision based on just the fact that you think you better. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd be sorry for it.
Okay.
So can you take 6 months?
Okay.
Can you do it?
Yep.
Good. I think that's really important. And I also want to say sometime in early November, you're going to hear about something really good, but check it out very thoroughly, okay?
Okay, great.
Okay, good luck, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Kevin, thank you for calling Tell Me Your Story. I hope you'll keep listening.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. And this is Tell Me Your Story. You can give us a call at 879-5478, that's 879-5478, KIST, and ask a question of Joan Sabinski, who is here live on the phones from Phoenix, Arizona. Just out of curiosity, sidebar here, what's the weather like there today?
It's beautiful. It's been beautiful for the last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
as 80s? Opposed to hot and sweltering.
Yeah, it's been in the 80s and always sunshine here. It's been lovely. It's definitely got the taste of fall, which, you know, we all love.
Well, and I only ask the question because my hometown is Phoenix. And
yes, and you know what it can be like.
I know what it has been like.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Well, we also are hearing an awful lot, Joan, about world conditions. And we're not talking about the conflicts here and there and the struggles and the strife.
So you're talking about the economy?
No, actually, we're talking about the global condition in terms of climate and weather and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not, I mean, there are people on both sides of the aisle who seem to have very compelling arguments and evidence to
mm-hmm.
support their positions that, look, this is just part of the cyclical process of this planet and every other planet in the universe that has these kinds of things, and we just happen to be caught here now. We had
uh-huh.
nothing to do with it. I mean, what ant and their anthill has any impact on the planet any more than we, as they describe us, as we're just little ants? And then there are others on the other side saying, look how much we've done and what we've destroyed and the rainforest. And again, the list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're doing, and we're reaching the point of no return, and so on and so forth.
Here would be my argument mm-hmm. for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Let us assume that we didn't do anything to create this. But what harm would it do to start taking care of the planet anyway?
Mm-hmm.
I travel a lot. I go to Europe very frequently, and I'm always impressed with how much further along Europeans are in taking care of the planet than we are. I know when I first went to England, I went shopping to the grocery store, and I'm standing there waiting for them to put them in bags, my groceries in bags. They're standing there looking at me like I'm nuts. And finally, I gathered they don't do that. People there carry their own canvas bags for their groceries. I just came back from Austria. People ride bikes everywhere. They have bike lanes everywhere, and there are more bicyclists and people who walk. And I look at that, and I think, what a blessing this is that they are conscious of the beauty of this planet and want to keep it that way. So I would argue it doesn't matter whether we're sending the planet to doom or not. We should all be conscious that she is something that is alive and can be destroyed. And do we want to live in pollution, or do we want to live with blue skies and beautiful weather?
Yeah. Yes, if you follow the behavior of animals out in the wilderness, they do not drop their waste where they eat.
Yes,
and yet
exactly.
We seem to be doing that.
And I would also ask, what financial benefits are we as the little people getting from allowing these pollutants as opposed to the people who are polluting? So my question would be, what benefit is it to start saying, well, you know, this pollution isn't really causing these things? You know, I am a little suspicious about any kind of comments, particularly when you study who paid for the research.
Yeah, yeah, because you just don't know which direction that payee is kind of encouraging and coercing the evidence and the information to slant. And that's kind of unfortunate. It's like, well, gee, then how are we going to ever get any clear, unbiased information? And that's
well, I'll
kind of
tell
sad.
You. I'll tell you how.
Huh.
We are lucky to have computers because, when I travel in Europe, I listen to other news sources. And I get information, and I get home, and I say, did you hear about X, Y, and Z? And people at home say, no.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not getting all the information that we need to make the decisions that we need to make. But with the web, if you start getting on and really researching things from all angles and look into some of the sources outside of the United States that are reputable, like the BBC, then I think you can learn a lot more and make some really good decisions. The problem is unfortunately most of humanity wants to be lazy and wants to be spoon-fed things and just accept whatever their friends tell them or their family believes. And I think that's what has gotten us as Americans in a lot of trouble for a while.
Indeed. And I know that when my wife and I traveled to Ireland, we would watch, in particular, television. We would be watching there. At that time, all they had was Sky TV, which was satellite.
Uh-huh.
And they had, of course, the BBC and other European English-speaking news services.
Right.
And we heard stories that we never would have heard, just as you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
So we come back to the States, and, you know, we move here to Santa Barbara, and we think, well, gee, do we want to go with this company, that company, as far as our media information, and saying, well, do you offer Sky TV? No, we don't. You know, and it's like, well, how do we get this? You know, and how do you get those kinds of things? Well, of course, the internet is there, and certainly there are so many different sources. As you say, the BBC is available on the internet.
There
as well.
Are foreign newspapers in English.
Yeah.
When I went to Italy the first time, I was shocked. There is an actual international newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And in reading it, I learned so many things that I didn't know, not only about the United States, but what's going on in the world that we're not being privy to.
How does this kind of information globally impact your readings, if it does in any way?
It doesn't. Unless somebody asks specifically about something global,
mm-hmm.
it won't come up, because what happens in my readings is I literally contact the person's guides. They're angels. I call them spirit guides. A lot of people call them angels. And they show me what is important for that person to know. And then the person also has the opportunity to ask questions if their guides did not cover what they want to know, and that's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
So unless it's something that is important in their life, the guides won't bring it up.
Now, the Earth has been termed a living, breathing entity, and you even referred to the planet as a she.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that this is true. What messages does the planet and or its guides have, and does the planet have guides? And it's kind of going along the same lines as each one of us. Somebody calls in, like Kevin or Tina,
uh-huh.
and asks you a question. Of course, we don't have the exact birth date
right.
and in order to give that kind of a reading, But at the same time, they'll come say, well, what do my guides have to share with me? Well,
right.
Can you, is there such a thing for the planet?
Nobody's ever asked that. So I would suggest that you ask Equinox that.
I may very well do that.
I do know that she makes her voice known, okay?
many different ways.
Yes, in many different ways, and so I know that that's a fact, mm-hmm. but I have no clue whether she has guides, none. And the reason I refer to the planet as a she, I'm not really saying that it's got a sexuality, mm-hmm. but we refer to it as Mother Earth, so it's just easier to say she.
Right. Well, if you would like to ask Joan a question, 879-547-8879-KIST is the phone number here. We'll be here for another 15 minutes taking your calls, answering your questions and comments, and dealing with whatever happens to be on your mind within your realm of reality. One of the things that we do here on the program is we try to create new paradigms for a new world. And I'm wondering if you're seeing that type of thing as well. It dovetails into the question I asked earlier in regards to the level of conscious acceptance on the part of humanity, the media, politics. Obviously, law enforcement is certainly dipping into this particular well and font of knowledge and information to help it solve some of its unsolvables. So how about that?
Yes, I believe that there is... Equinox calls it a consciousness shift.
Mm-hmm.
They refer to something called the 100th monkey, which was an interesting scientific situation that was discovered a while back where that some scientists were watching two islands of monkeys. The islands were quite separate, and the monkeys didn't obviously know each other, couldn't communicate with each other. On one island, they discovered that one monkey all of a sudden started washing his food, and the entirety of the island, all the monkeys on the island, began to wash their food, which was interesting enough. However, the other island, the same thing happened. No communication that could be found. They were far enough away that they couldn't hear one another. So Equinox says at some point in our existence, the 100th monkey will occur. And what they mean by that is at some point when enough people come into consciousness on this planet, understand the way that things really are as opposed to the fear-based mentality we've lived under,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden the whole planet will be conscious. I believe that that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I believe many more people are asking the deeper questions rather than accepting the pat answers.
And I've even heard this analogy that there are those communities around the planet, you can call them monasteries and so forth, where it is only because of these people who are spending literally their lives in prayer and meditation in all of the different and diverse religions of the planet, praying and meditating, that's right now sort of helping to keep the planet in one piece up to this point.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. Again, that would be something I think Equinox could probably mm-hmm. handle better than I could. But suffice it to say that I believe any time that any human connects with the source, God, whatever the goddess, whatever word that you use for a energy that is absolutely benevolent and loving, that what that does is increase the loving, benevolent energy on our planet. So I don't care what you do to do that. I know people that do it by writing books. I know people that do it by painting.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that do it by meditating, by yoga, by singing, by swimming. Whatever way you use to be in touch with the source and fill yourself with that love is adding to the connection with the planet and the love that is on this planet. That's why Equinox talks about attempting not to get into fear-based things like worrying about the economy or putting out the energy of anger and war, that what you do is put out the opposite energy so that that is what grows.
Now, you mentioned the There's a book, there's a DVD, there's a CD regarding The Secret.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that earlier.
Which
is not a secret, that you've been teaching it for 40 years.
And there are two people that I read years ago, Shakti Gawain and John Randolph Price, that have wonderful books mm-hmm. on how to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I have been teaching it for at least 40 years. The difference between me and the people that actually did the work with The Secret is they did a video, they did a DVD, and they put together a book so that the mass can read it. But I know there are people who don't believe in it, too,
mm-hmm.
that they say that it's bad for you. I think it's interesting that anyone would be angry that people would believe that they have the power to change their lives, not only through thought, but through the thought creating an action.
Yeah, I heard a news report back in the late 80s, early 90s on a station I was working for that referred to, and this deals with the economy, but the basic information was that the consumer confidence level, price index, what have you, had risen by 0.2%. Now, this is some kind of a story that normally, you know, you'd hear throughout the day over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
repeating it. I heard it once on a major network, and then it disappeared. And I thought, And the only conclusion that I could come to at that time was that the powers that be realized that if the public began to realize that they were the ones responsible for this particular statistic going up, they would begin to realize they had the power. We can't let them do that, so they pulled the plug on the story. Now, that's just my mind kind of going wild, but I have a feeling that in regards to what we'll refer to as The Secret or the law of attraction or whatever
mm-hmm.
name you want to give to it, what you sow, so shall you reap,
mm-hmm.
that particular secret gives each one of us as individuals awesome, awesome power once we have tapped into it. Not if, but when.
Exactly. I agree with you. And I think not only that, though, and why so many people, even when they know about it, won't utilize it, is it also gives us responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It means that if your life keeps repeating negative patterns, you need to look at why. There isn't a God out there punishing you. The God or source or energy wants you to be successful, loved, happy. It is a loving, benevolent energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are an awful lot of people out there that the concept of our power is too frightening for, because that means that they have to take responsibility for their lives. But you're absolutely correct. I know one of the phrases that Equinox used to use all the time that I loved was, there is nothing greater nor lesser than thyself.
Mm.
If we are all made in God's image, then why are we any less?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We have just a few moments left, and if you'd like to get a call in, we'd love to hear from you, 879-5478. That is 879-KIST. Joan Sabinski is my guest, and we're talking about a lot of subjects, but we would love to talk about and have her share with you some insights into your life. That's what this program is basically designed to create: new paradigms for a new world. And that world can be on a global level, or it can be as microscopic as just your world. And it's up to us, and I guess that dirty word, responsibility, kind of gets in the way. And it's not even a four-letter word, folks, but it's hard for a lot of us to think. I mean, I remember working for 15 years at a religious radio station. You never heard that word being used.
Mm-hmm.
And that
I
was,
can understand that.
Yeah. And you know, and I'm hearing that a little bit more now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Tell us a little bit more, Joni, about Equinox and maybe what we might experience, what kind of things we might experience on the 24th of November.
Well, hopefully you'll experience a group of entities that can be quite serious, quite insightful, but also quite funny at times, that really are working to educate us about the way the cosmos works. I know we've had questions about people asking about past lives that are significant to the life they're living now and what they can learn from those past lives. We've had questions about interactions between loved ones and how can this interaction be more complete or work out more easily for the two people. We've had questions about what is karma, what is the other side like, just all kinds of wonderful, wonderful, insightful questions about what the universe consists of.
Well, we're going to have an opportunity to experience that on the 24th of November here on Tell Me Your Story, and we certainly encourage you to tune in at that time. And I'm going to ask you, Joan, would you please give us information how our listeners can get a hold of you?
Well, if you want to read a little bit about who I am, my website is www.starlighter.com/directions. And that'll give you some information on me. And to book an appointment or find out about channelings or anything like that, or the classes I teach, or seminars that I do, or to have me fly to you and do a series of seminars and readings, my phone number is 623-247-5998. I do telephone readings, but they must be scheduled by appointment.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had two additional calls. One we're going to go to in just a moment, but Tina called back just to thank us for the information, and we really appreciate that.
Thank you, Tina.
And Kevin has returned. He wants to ask a follow-up. But Kevin, are you there with us?
Hi, this is Kevin again.
Yeah.
You just mentioned that we are not separate from God.
Exactly.
I've been saying this for years.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I keep saying to people all the time is that there's only one place in the universe that is not aware of being a part of God, and that's between our ears.
Yes.
And we've been carefully trained to feel that way, and it's not true.
And Equinox calls that living in the illusion.
Yeah.
And the reality is there is no separation. The separation is only what you believe it to be.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow yourself to feel connected, you are connected, and all kinds of wondrous gifts then become yours.
Yeah, yeah. And one additional thing. A friend of mine used to say, you got the spiritual goods, deliver the goods.
Very, very, very good. I like that.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for calling back, and I hope you'll keep listening.
Good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. As a matter of fact, there's a comment by a comedian who would actually say that space between your ears, as you say, Equinox referred to as the illusion, he refers to as an illusion. I love the way he says that.
Uh-huh.
We are fast approaching the end of our program, and I want to thank you for taking time to share with us and our audience about what it is that you do, as well as information that you've shared with our callers, Tina and Kevin. And we encourage people to give you a call, and again, the number that they can reach you at.
623-247-5998.
It's 247-5998, area code 623. And they can also go to a number of different websites, but I would recommend two. One is starlight.com.
Starlighter.
Starlighter.
Uh-huh.
That's with an E-R,
starlighter.com. So.
Actually, I believe, and I'm going to go there right
you
now.
You may be right, and I may be wrong, because I don't do my website. Somebody does it for me.
And you are correct. You are correct, ma'am.
Yep, starlighter.com directions.
That's right, and you can go there and you get further information. You can also go to richarddugan.com, and there is also information there as well, links to that website, which then takes you beyond and into other areas and realms, which we would encourage you to check out, mayama.com and so forth. And, Joni, I really do appreciate once again having you on the program, and do look forward to having Equinox on on the 24th of November.
Richard, can I mention one last thing?
Sure, go right ahead.
If anybody here has, I can't think of the name of the site now. That's really good of me, isn't it?
Whoops.
Video site, you know, where you go on and you can download videos?
Something like YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube.
Okay.
If you go on YouTube and you put in my name,
mm-hmm,
or Brad Steiger, who is a well-known author of multitudes of metaphysical books, there is actually a video of an interview we do with each other. So if anybody wants to get more of a feel of what I am and who I am, there is a video on YouTube.
Okay. And, of course, you would spell out Joan's name, J-O-N-N-E, and then the last name is...
Actually, I think my brother spelled it wrong. I think he put... So just put in Joan, J-O-A-N, and the last name is S-C-I-B-I-E-N-S-K-I, or Brad Steiger, S-T-E-I-G-E-R.
Great. Well, Joan, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you'll join us again in November when we have Equinox.
Wonderful.
Richard Dugan, and I thank you. Joni, stay on the line, and hope you'll join us next week. Our special guest, a return visit by the three-minute astrologer David Hawthorne. Hope you'll join us then. Have yourselves a great day.